Going through just some of the outlines of Chancel Drama very, very briefly for the sake of some of you who have not been in here for the week. First of all, what is Chancel Drama? What makes up Chancel Drama? Well, my theory on that is that Chancel Drama is anything that you do that has a religious theme. It can be a part of the regular worship service, but it can also be a part of like a Sunday school opening or a Sunday school service. It can be part of a youth worship. It can be outdoors or indoors. But it is somehow helping to express the Word of God a little more, more clearly. When I do use the church, I like to use, as you may have observed, I like to make use of the entire church, not to confine it to a small area in the front, like a Sunday school pageant. Sometimes, you know, you'll see it's all right in here. But I like to make use of the aisles, of the back of the church, conversations back and forward from the back of the church to the front of the church. I mean, you don't want to, what has to be, of course, appropriate to whatever you're doing, but participating in making the use of the whole church, it gives the congregation a feeling of involvement with the players. And so as long as it's appropriate, I make use of a lot of the space in the church. I don't like to use a lot of costuming, and we talked about that a little bit already. The reason that I don't like to use a lot of costuming is I think it distracts. I think it distracts from worship to have a lot of excess costuming. You may need something that gives an indication of what the person is. If you're perhaps having a king, you may want to have some indication of who he is. Maybe a loose shirt and a medallion or something like that would be appropriate. But to put the king into robes and a crown and the whole thing, I think is distracting. And it makes it more of a performance. See, that's getting back into this performance thing again. Also, I think if you're working with adults, they don't always like to get into a lot of costuming. They feel a little uncomfortable like that. Teenagers also, they're very sensitive. They don't want to look tacky. And so, you know, aim for the simplest possible costume that you can. That's my theory. You know, you may think things differently, and great if you're comfortable with a lot of costuming and that's really something you enjoy working with. Well, fine, you probably have a knack for that. There are various types of chancel dramas. They can be portrayals of Bible stories, dramatic presentations of religious themes or biblical truths, choral readings, and I will spend a little time with the choral readings and a few of these things that we didn't get to last week because we really needed to spend time preparing for Vespers last night. We'll talk about that. Also earlier in the week, we worked with some of the gospel and epistle lessons, making use of the gospel and epistle lessons in a way that makes them more clear and more understandable by the people of the congregation. Now, some of them can be, as we did last Sunday in Eucharist, where we kind of took the lesson and rewrote the lesson, making it more dramatic. But you don't necessarily have to do that. And how many of you were here at the beginning of the week when we did the lessons? Okay, so a number of you were. But you can just take, I don't think I brought those with me today. You can just take a regular lesson out of the pericope. You know, that's the reading for the Sunday. And read through it carefully. And then put it in a choral reading form. You don't even have to memorize that. You can have two or three people do it in a choral reading, or you can have the ladies' guild do it as a choral reading, or the youth group do it as a choral reading. Have one or two, maybe, or three individual people who do solo speaking parts, and the rest of them speak as a group. But you can write these yourselves. They're very easy to do. You just look at what it's saying, what sounds like a solo voice. You assign that to a certain individual. If it's a strong passage, you assign it to a man with a deep voice or a young boy with a deep voice. If it's something kind of soft and gentle, you pick your person for that. If it sounds like, you know, it's something kind of solid, then you have your group do it. All right? Or it can be just done by two persons, talking alone or together. And just make it sound different. It helps to bring out a little more excitement into the passages. Some of them get long, and sometimes it's very easy to tune out when some of those long, involved passages are being read. But try it. That's a very simple thing to do. One thing you need to be aware of, however, is if you're going to do any kind of choral readings with a group, or even two people talking together, you have to practice. You have to have them work through that, especially on that choral reading part, because those people need to speak together. All right? They need to be together. Now, when it comes to individual parts, they can be expressive and flowery. They can do their own thing. They can become individualized. But the group parts have to be chorused. They have to be, it's almost like a, you know, music. And you have to work that out. So be sure to prepare. Anything that's worth doing in church, anything that's worth doing in worship service is worth preparing, is worth doing a good job in, on it, okay? Perhaps that's one reason why I feel like some of these role-playing impromptu type things are not very good in a worship service. Because a worship service is formal, and I think your presentation should be formal. So unless you're in a very casual type service, I wouldn't get too much into role-playing or informal type.
Uh-huh. Just on that, sure. Sorry, just anecdotal. In our church, we like to do things well. And one individual made a complaint that what she didn't like about us is that we always had to do things well. And you brought that out, and of course, I think most people feel just as you do. Mm-hmm. But it was such a surprise. It was funny for a moment, but then it wasn't humorous anymore. Mm-hmm. I felt an individual loss, but the surprise was that when you do these things in front of people, you just do them and everyone's going to accept it. So, but the idea that you're disappointed because we did things, we had to do things well. Mm-hmm. And I guess there are more people who may feel that way. I doubt it. I mean, I don't know anyone who does, but yeah. Except the one person. Yeah. It was just a strange comment to make, as though doing something for church, it's the spirit, some spiritual guidance or some spiritual aura is there that handles everything you can't do or something.
We'll fix all our mistakes. Yeah. Of course, you know, most of us are. Is everybody here Lutheran or not? I mean, we won't pick it, you know, point at you or anything if you're not. But the Lutheran Church, of course, is more formal than a lot of the other churches, and so people who come from more evangelical or Pentecostal type churches, they're used to the informality of being able to do impromptu prayers and that type of thing.
Yeah, so it could be something like that in the background.
I've heard people complain about the standards for the choir, like you have to sing so well to get in, and I think that brings out a feeling like, well, I'm not good enough, maybe.
I think, like you're saying, the reason for the standard setting, it's not a personal thing that I want to be good because I want to be good for myself. Mm-hmm. There's something else you're presenting, I think, like you say. Well, you said it very well. You know, you're presenting for God.
Mm-hmm.
That makes all the
difference
in the world.
All the places you should want something to be good.
Yeah.
Or at least the best you can do. Whatever that might be, the best you can do.
Well, I think I said the other day that you know, if the pastor would come and start preaching his sermon and be poorly prepared, you would be very annoyed, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And you'd say, why am I wasting my time here? You know, if he doesn't know what he's talking about, he hasn't prepared. I mean, then you really feel disappointed. Now, if you do something in the way of a chancel drama and the group that I have in Tacoma frequently does these as sermon. And they know, the young people know that they are sermon, that they are preparing, that they are presenting a sermon. Now, if they present a bad sermon, you know, or poorly prepared sermon, why are we doing this, see? Mm-hmm. And another thing I do, by the way, is, not at the last moment, but a week or so before we present, is at a rehearsal. I'll sit the kids down and I'll say, okay, now what in the world is this play talking about? You know, what are we saying? What is the message? And after the kids have worked on it a while and they have learned the lines, it's surprising. They come up with some really good insights on what they're doing and what the message of the play is and what they're trying to project to the congregation. And so that they have this feeling as we go into the last week of preparation of, yes, we are doing something,
It would be very helpful to involve them in that part to get their perspective, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything else, I guess, when we're dealing with children in a teaching form. They must know what you're talking about, and I think they probably know coming from them better than coming from us.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would give the message.
Right.
For all so often, though, it's your job to do this and your job is that, and the kids really don't feel they have too much to say, so they accept it.
Right.
And it isn't quite right, because it's not their spontaneity coming into it,
mm-hmm.
or their vigor into it, then it's a flat sound to it. The whole thing sounds very flat when they're not involved.
Yeah. But when they know what they're doing,
when they understand, it's
really exciting. You can almost see and hear a difference in how they work through things.
That's what I've noticed between,
when they have that kind of
depends on who's leading them. You there's the same group doing much the same thing, one just so excellent, and then someone else leading it, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, it's really
different. Yeah. Now, one thing I have mentioned at various times is that I am, for those of you who weren't in class earlier, I did mention at the beginning of the week what my background is in drama. And my background, if you really want to know, I have a background in teaching. I have taught junior high math and physical education. And I raised five children. And then I went back and got my master's degree, after the children were pretty well grown, got my master's degree a couple years ago in guidance and counseling. And I now work half-time as an elementary school counselor. Now, none of that says I have any background in drama. And the reason that I'm even involved in drama was because it started out as being something that needed to be done. We had a youth group back in Illinois, and we had a young vicar who came with his guitar and started the kids singing contemporary folk songs at a time when, this was like 15 years ago, when guitars were not all that readily acceptable in most Lutheran churches. But when he started playing those contemporary folk songs, the kids just crowded around him, and we had this wonderful youth group. And we started giving folk concerts or folk services. And they were so well attended that we gave one, the congregation had one in August, which is, of course, a bad time to give any kind of a service. We had a larger attendance from the congregation and the community than we ever had again, Christmas, Easter, any of those. Because the young people were so excited to have a service that was strictly contemporary, strictly their style. Now, in connection with this, I started putting together some readings of gospel and epistle lessons in a more dramatic way. Kids loved it. Congregations loved it. Worked well. We started taking these kids on choir tours. We'd go to other congregations and present contemporary services. And this went over really well. And when we'd announced that we're getting ready for a contemporary folk choir tour, the kids would just swarm. You know, we'd take sometimes as many as 60 kids on choir tour. We'd go in the fall, and then we'd go in the spring again. And we'd be gone maybe 5 days and have maybe 7-8 services. during that time, and we'd be housed at different churches and so on.
How large is your congregation?
Well, the congregation in Illinois, where we used to be, my husband was a parish pastor, now he works at the Pacific Lutheran University. That church, well, we started it from scratch, and then it went up to about 1,100, and then it started phasing out and was gone again. So when we left, it was about 800 people. So it was one of those fast-moving suburban communities that we've had a hard time keeping up with. So anyway, this was how we got started. And then as the kids started getting good at doing some of these gospel and epistle lessons and things like that, then we moved to doing full-length sermon dramas, and then we would have we had the full contemporary stories, including the drama and the sermon. That's how I got started at it. And what I say is, you know, I have no background in drama except I enjoy doing it. I feel I have a certain capability at it, but I also feel that there, from what I know of several of you here, there's a lot of capability here too. And my suggestion is, start with something that's not, if you haven't done it, start with something that's, you know, fairly small and build up into something that's more complex. But there's no reason why anybody with that special interest can't try some of these things and make them work. Okay, a couple points, and this has to do with just the mechanics. A couple things that I emphasize when I work with young people or any group in drama. One is, you've got to be heard. You have got to be heard. If you do something and you do not project your voice so that it can be heard, then don't bother doing it, you know, because if everybody leaves saying, well, I suppose it was all right, but I couldn't hear a word of it, then that's bad, you know. Then you might as well not have done it. Just like Joanne, in our play last night, Joanne's voice is a little soft, and so her director was getting a little testy with her there at the end. Joanne, what are you doing? No, not quite that bad, but anyway. But it's surprising, you can challenge the people to do more, to do better. Also, you have to watch out for motor mouth. And I think if you work with teenagers, you find this more of a problem, you know. Three women heads bowed in the morning, walked out, walked slowly down the aisle, and as they walk, they say to one another, who rolled stone, who rolled stone, you know. You cannot understand that at all. And sometimes you really have to stop this person. Number one, try to get them to phrase, put it in small groups. Three women, heads bowed in mourning, walk slowly down the aisle toward the chancel. You know, you get them to break up the sentence. Now, if a person has a naturally flowing voice, you don't need to do that, and it makes it awkward for that. But when you've got a motor mouth, that's one way you can help. If they really are having a bad time of it, make them speak the lines with you. It'll drive them crazy, and they'll object to it. But after you've made them do it a couple of times, they'll slow down just so that you'll quit making them talk with you because they can't stand it, all right? So that's a way to deal with that. So voice projection is really very important. Also, movement is very important. Avoid somebody who's just going to stand like this or like this. By the way, hands in the pockets and chewing gum are the two worst. Those are awful. You know, if I point at you, swallow the gum. There you go, Joyce. Or no hands in the pockets. But a lot of times, the kids, if you're working with young people, or adults, this is either, will stand, you know. And there was this terrible thing that happened yesterday when I was down at the market. Oh, what happened? You know, I mean, that's terrible. Get them to use arm motion. Some people come by it naturally and can do that, you know. Oh, there was this terrible thing that happened down at the market. You wouldn't believe what happened. Oh, what was it? You know, some people can float, others not. If they can't, you have to show them some things to do. And maybe they won't be that good at it the first time around. And maybe they won't be great by the time you're ready to put on the production. But they will improve. And maybe next time you'll have them in a play, all of a sudden, you'll see some of those graceful motions starting to happen. And they will get better. But you may have to just impose this on them. I had one little girl who was supposed to get really upset about something. And you know, she's standing there. I am so upset about this thing. I said, Lisa, come on, you're upset. Come on, get really agitated. I am really upset about this. I said, Lisa, if you don't get excited, we'll lose the paper. I'm going to get excited. You know, I said, stop. Did you see what you just did? Now go do it, you know. Because it wasn't, you know, she was just having trouble projecting that into the acting part of it. And once she loosened up and could get angry at me, then she could get angry in the role. And so sometimes you have to shake people up to get them to loosen up. Okay. Let's see. Let's take just a little time to look at some of these things. I said we'd do a little some things with choral reading and a few ideas like this. I brought a couple along. These are musicals that might be helpful to you. All right, some we've done and some of them I haven't done. This is one we did just very recently. It's called The Singing Bishop. Now this is a musical and it's short. It was used for Palm Sunday. Anybody familiar with it? Okay, have you done it? Mm-hmm. How'd it work out?
Pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, right. Our choral director at our church is very good. She has a nice children's choir. And so she likes to do use of them in various ways. And so this children's choir formed a parade. This is the story of the man who wrote the song, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." And he was imprisoned. And then on Palm Sunday, he was apparently very joyous because it was Palm Sunday. He was celebrating the special day of the Lord, and he was singing, and the parade with the king went by, and we heard him singing, and he was released. So it's kind of a nice story. It's very brief. It's not a sermon-type drama, but we did it as the opening of the church, the Palm Sunday church service, okay? And then we had some of the young people who took the roles of the king and the jailer and the man who was in prison.
Theodulf,
yeah, all right. And it worked really well. You know, we combined those three young people, then learned the roles and did the singing, and she worked with the singing with them. I mean, music is not necessarily my big thing, but maybe yours. I like to sing, but I'm not good at directing music anymore. So anyway, that was one that went really well and gave some meaning to the song. Another one that we did do, and that was "It's Cool in the Furnace." Anybody familiar with that? Okay. Getting some nods from this. All right, and we did this again with the children's choir, and it's the story of the three men in the fiery furnace. And the songs are great. The children love the songs. They're really neat, you know, very jazzy songs. And the children did a very, very good job of these. And then we had Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar were teenagers. And we have just the neatest Nebuchadnezzar. We had to promise him he didn't have to sing because he's kind of a character. And he said, "Now, Mrs. Beckmeyer, I know you won't get me into this, but if there's anything I have to sing, I'm leaving right at the moment, you know. But anyway, he did a super job as King Nebuchadnezzar. He was just very, his wild flowing gowns and so on. But that was very enjoyable. So, of course, there are others. Joseph and his Technicolor.
Green coat,
yeah. All right, is one that probably a lot of you are familiar with.
Barbecue for Ben. Yes.
I'm not familiar with that.
That's the prodigal son.
Really?
Oh, barbecue for Ben.
Anybody else heard of that? Barbecue for Ben? Have you? Okay.
Those are all from Chorister Guild.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that one too?
That's, yeah. They all come from Chorister Guild.
Yeah.
Have you done David and the Giants for us?
No.
David and the Giants. Mm-hmm. Then it goes into who the bad giants are in our day, like the pollution and greed.
Oh, really?
These things from the father's parade, and he did it with the biggest dads you could find, held up signs and hunger and pollution and greed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it ended. I'm sure it's David and the Giants. And I think that's from Forrester's Guild, too.
All right. And so that's a musical also.
Mm-hmm. It's about 8 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, a couple days ago I mentioned that we had done a chancel drama on Martin Luther, sort of in connection with the 500th anniversary. And the original material which I used, which I borrowed, which I had to return, and which I can't make any copies of, had a musical background that went with it, and which was kind of neat. But at the time that we ended up doing it in November, it sort of coincided with the time when we were rededicating our church. We'd done quite a bit of renovation. I just couldn't involve the choir. They were involved in so many other things. We had gotten a new organ, and they were dedicating the organ and the new church. And I thought, I'm not going to begin to get into their involvement. And we didn't have a large enough group of teenagers to involve them both in the play and in the music, too. So I opted to let the music out. So there are always those options.
I'm sure you've all done 100% Chance of Rain.
I've heard of that. I've not done it, but
that's one I know of.
Uh-huh.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Chorister's Guild?
Is that Chorister?
Chorister's Guild.
All right. So now you've heard a name that you know has quite a few things that are available. Keep track of those names, you know, so that when you're looking for something, you know where to look, all right? This name comes up, a lot of things are available through them. Here's another name you need to know, Contemporary Drama Service. Now, this is not musical, but Contemporary Drama Service, and I have some catalogs, and that will be set out later, and you can get the name of that service from them, and if you want to ask them to go on their mailing list so that you get catalogs, you have the opportunity to send for materials and look at them. This, you notice this one says perusal copy only. What I do is I look through their material and try to get ideas, you know, of what the plays are about. Sometimes they'll say, or usually they'll say, how many people are in the place. That gives you a clue, you know, how many people you think you need. They don't always have the length of the dramas, which I find an inconvenience. But sometimes they do. Anyway, then you end up sending for perusal copies. And that's I have no easy way to tell you of how to pick out materials. But just send for copies, you know, you have an investment in that, and you do get a card that will give you a little discount if you send for more materials. But you read the single copies until you find material that you like, that you feel comfortable with. This company, you used to be able to send these back, but you can't anymore. So you just are stuck with them if you don't like them. And that's just the way it is.
They have full price for free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a standard single price across the board that they have. I don't know what it is right now. It's, you know, usually $1.50 or something like that for a single copy. Then these materials from Contemporary Drama Service are all copyrighted.
And you do need to, if you're going to use the material and do a presentation, you need to pay for the use of it. They used to have the prices on the front here, but now they don't. I think it's because prices change so rapidly they can't keep up with it. Maybe, you know, $10, $15. But then they give you a complete set of material, you know, so that you've got copies for everybody.
So instead of paying for copies of the play, you pay for the copyright? Is that how it works?
You get both the copies and the copyright.
For the price?
Yeah. Yeah, and there are directions down here that give you details. Sometimes they'll say that this gives you, once you have the play kit with the copies, then you can use it any time you want. Other copyrights will say, for each time you use it, you have to pay the copyright price.
Is that true if you do it for free for a church service?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You can't photocopy it, is what you're saying.
No, you should not photocopy it, yes. It's illegal to photocopy it. Now, the truth must out, I do have some photocopies, but I'm careful not to give those away as freebies. And the only reason I have some of those is sometimes I wait till too late to send for my copies, and so I end up copying them, and then I get my copies later, so I end up with all kinds of extra material. But I am careful to always pay for material I use if they ask for payment, because I figure that's how you keep the material being written. Otherwise, you have nothing to use.
Well, I wasn't suggesting that you should ask them to copy the material. What I'm asking is, if you once buy the set, I guess it's a related question, if you once buy the set, then is it usual that to do it again using the same originals, and you would pay again?
It depends what they say. You sometimes are required to do that, yeah. Permission for group reading or performance of this play is obtained with purchase of drama play kit from Contemporary Drama Service. Any other use or presentation is illegal. All other rights are reserved. It's a violation of copyright for anyone except Contemporary Drama Service, etc., to reproduce or duplicate copies of this manual. Additional copies can be purchased at the above address. The right of performance is not transferable, and any use is strictly forbidden in cases where copies are loaned, hired, or purchased secondhand from a third party. Now, I would take this to mean, then, that one party could use the set as many times as they wanted to. But sometimes it reads very specifically that if you can do it for one series of presentations, but if you do it again, later, you know, 3 years later, you decide with a different group, you have to, again, pay for the use of it.
Did you like that particular thing?
I haven't used it. This is a choral reading. Are you familiar with it?
No, not that one.
This is a choral reading, and for the sake of getting just a little bit of an idea, I just had the one copy reading. Let's see, A, B, C, D, E. There are five parts here. Can you just read it? Can you cluster together just a little bit, this row, and just get a feeling of what this is like? It's called The Tenants and the Landlord. Okay, A, B, C, D, E.
Listen.
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 Can you hear? No, that's not.
Listen.
Who is that?
Can you hear?
Well, actually, there's six.
Suddenly loud. Oh. And back. Can you hear?
Hear.
Hear?
Hear. Hear.
Where are we at?
Right here.
Hear.
Keep your finger on it.
Yeah, I know.
Are you back to A again?
Yeah.
That's the echo of nothing.
Echo, nothing.
Echo, nothing.
Echo, nothing.
Echo, nothing.
Staggered as a round.
No.
This, all voices. Oh, excuse me, that's a French.
This is the sound of life without rhythm.
You know, like a rhythm.
Yeah. Okay.
These words are to tell you of death.
These words will speak to you of despair.
Your eyes will see the vision of loneliness.
See, I'm seeing. We speak the sounds of love.
He that has ears to hear, let him hear.
Well then, we tell the story of man.
Of
Theony.
Of 12 men.
Of all mankind.
We tell the story of a cross.
Of a crucifixion.
Of an assassination.
Okay, all right.
It's hard. Anyway, you guys get the idea of what can be done with something like this. Sorry, I don't have more copies of this, but then this again is one of those types of material that I should not really be copying. But something like that can be done very well with groups, and you don't have to necessarily do a lot of acting with that. You know, you could put the acting motions into it if you felt so inclined, or you could have it as more or less a chorus, you know, off to one side, or have the choir do it. This would be a good thing, you know, for the choir, a variation for the choir. This is a Lenten piece, and it has seven parts to it. So it could be used, it could be put into a program of some kind, or for Lenten services, a little something different. So those are some of the options that you have. And of course, here's a whisper of meditation, which could be used as it's a litany of the Lord's song. It could be used as a responsive reading, or it could be used with two people. There are songs for all of us, the silent songs unexpressed within me, quiet songs as I dream of what I'm going to be, songs which folks and friends won't hear or see. And there are songs surrounding me, coming from my family, and so on. So you find materials like this. Anytime you find materials, hang on to them, you know. Anytime anybody's passing out freebies, you may get an idea. Maybe you won't be able to use that exactly, but hang on to it. All right. Here's a choral reading we can do. I should have gotten this one out first. This one is written by someone whose name you might recognize. And we can do that. So I've got plenty of copies of that. Do you notice the name there?
It sounds familiar.
Elmer Witt?
Oh, yeah.
All right. This choral reading adaptation of Luke 18, which is the story of the Pharisee and the publican, has four characters and a four-part chorus. Let's see, we have a Pharisee, and we have Jesus, and a tax collector, and a narrator. Okay, Tom will make it work. You be the Pharisee. And you can be, Gunnar, you can be Jesus, your chance of a lifetime. Okay?
Tom maybe was, the last time
Tom
I'll
was
take
last
it, I'll take
week,
it.
And you can be this week. Mm-hmm. Who wants to be a tax collector? Who's into tax collecting? How about you, Gunnar? Would you mind? All right. And narrator? Nancy, you want to take the narrator part? Okay. Let's just do it. Now, we need one, groups 1, 2, 3, and 4. All right? Let's see. 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 3 in a group. Group 1, you 3 in the back. All right. Nancy and Mira. Group 2, you 3. All right. Group 3, and we'll be group 4. All right. All right, narrator, you begin.
Then Jesus gave this illustration.
He always gave illustrations.
He surely is interesting.
Without parables, did he not speak to them?
Too interesting to ask me.
His stories bother me.
Then Jesus gave this illustration to certain people who were confident of their own goodness and looked down on others.
Well, I'm glad he told them.
Sure are a lot of stuffed shirts around.
I can't stand people like that.
Of course, there's nothing wrong with self-confidence. No one wants to be man who can be.
Oh, sure, there's nothing wrong with confidence. Then Jesus gave this illustration. Two men went up to the temple to pray.
Nothing wrong with that. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Prayer changes things.
Incline my ear, O Lord.
This is Jesus.
Two men went to pray. One was a Pharisee. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The other was a tax collector.
No, we missed two and three.
We missed two. We had to have two.
It's probably a mistake.
No, it's tax collector. Of course, then you say it again. Tax collector with disdain.
I'll buy into what you're saying. Number three, then.
Tax collector.
The other was a tax collector.
You can't depend on death and taxes. They're dirty politicians.
He always ate with tax collectors.
Sure, they could afford good food.
And sinners.
They're dirty politicians.
And sinners.
The Pharisee stood and prayed like this with himself.
Oh God.
Listen,
he's praying.
See, there he is.
Listen, the Pharisee's praying.
Oh God, I do thank thee.
He's grateful.
He's thankful.
He appreciates God.
That's nice.
Oh God, I do thank thee that I am not like the rest of mankind.
Mankind is rotten.
He's right.
People are no good.
One of us is missing.
Right.
I thank thee I am not greedy.
Terrible.
That I am not dishonest.
Dishonest. Shame.
That I am not impure.
Impure. Disgusting.
Or even like that tax collector over there.
Dirty politician.
Sinner.
Tax collector.
Oh God, I thank thee that I fast twice every week.
Twice? Wow. Every week?
I give away a tenth part of all my income.
A tenth?
A tenth of its whole income?
Before or after taxes?
Oh God, I thank thee that I am not like the rest.
Mankind is rotten.
He's right.
Goodness shows.
Honesty is the best policy.
Truth will out.
The Pharisee is right.
But the tax collector stood in a distant corner.
Where?
Over there.
Where?
I can't see him.
Scarcely daring to look up to heaven.
He looks scared to me.
Well, he better be. Dirty sinner.
He's got plenty to be humble about.
And with a gesture of despair, the tax collector said,
Listen.
Quiet. I'm here. God, have mercy on a sinner like me.
Is that all?
That was short.
Not much of a prayer.
He's a sinner, all right.
God, have mercy on a sinner like me.
Sounds impertinent.
Mercy is what he needs.
Not much of a prayer.
He's a sinner, all right.
God, have mercy on a sinner like me.
Sounds old-fashioned to me.
Yes, like David or something.
Or Isaiah.
Or Peter.
God, have mercy on a sinner like me.
Is that all he's going to say?
Let him be.
If that's the way he wants it.
He's a sinner, all right.
Then Jesus said,
I assure you that he was the man who went home justified in God's sight rather than the other one.
Justified?
justify?
There he goes again.
In that sight?
What about the Pharisee?
He went home justified in God's sight.
What about the Pharisee?
Why, Lord?
Why?
Why?
For everyone who sets himself up as somebody will become a nobody.
Nobody?
Nobody?
And the man who makes himself nobody will become somebody.
Somebody?
Who will make him somebody?
You lose your life and find it?
Who said so?
Jesus
gave this illustration to certain people who were confident of their own goodness and looked down on others.
Jesus said this.
God have mercy.
Jesus said this to certain people.
God have mercy.
Jesus said this.
Jesus said this.
God have mercy on a sinner like me.
Right. Now, wouldn't that work well? That would not be hard to put together. You could put
Do we have to give this back to you?
No. That would be something you could put together very easily. Now, emphasis on it would need practice, and you need to determine how some of these things are going to be said. Don't just hand it out one day and go with it. That would be a mistake. Hold true to what you're after to do a good job, all right? So that's really important. All right, a couple other suggestions I have here. One, just other things that I haven't shown you, and then we'll give you a couple minutes to get through these here. Here's a series on biblical skits from the Gospel of John. They're very short, and they may be something that might be something you'd like to try. There are different, they're pre-Lent to post-Easter, and perhaps might be something you'd be interested in trying. Mm-hmm. And I also have one here, and here again, both of these are contemporary drama service, so you have to get copies. The Lenten Banner, there's also, I think, one that says the Advent Banner. And it's a banner, and each week of during the midweek Lenten service, they put up a different panel in the banner. And then there's a little play that goes with it, very brief, but it could be incorporated into the worship. They have at least the two series, they may have more, but it's related into very nice banners of the designs in them. Okay, so those are ideas. Also, here's, this is called an Easter suggestion, and this is kind of a role play thing that you might want to try out. Either for a worship service or maybe ladies guild or something like that. But it's the role play of coming to open tomb on Easter morning. And you might be interested in that. All right. Any other questions before I spread out this and give you an opportunity
just
to pick out what you want?
Mention CSS. It does allow you now to the materials to get to photocopy. They used to have them all copyrighted, but they have a lot of dramas in there, and you buy the material, just the one copy, you can make copies of it.
You can. All right. That's
just
a change.
It's just been a race of policy.
All right, that's a change. It's CSS. It's, the company is just called C.S.S., and it's Lima, Ohio.
Right?
It
stands for Children's Sermon Service.
Yeah.
Is that right? All right.
And they have an 800 number.
All right, so that's one. I haven't used them lately just because it seemed I wasn't getting what I wanted, but I have.
But they just changed their policy in the book.
Okay, super. Any other ideas, suggestions that you want to make?
You can have this. Helen has one, so that's all right. One for family.
Okay. I've really enjoyed the group, and I wish I had a chance to get better acquainted with a few of you here that came in right at the end.